As it's my responsibility and my joy to open up the Word of God this morning as we head into the new year, 2015, and as we head into the new year, you want your family to be healthy and together and happy. You want your job in the workplace to go well. You want money not to be a big pain and a big issue this year. You want your health. You want relationships to be filled with love. You want the circumstances of your life to lead you to walk with God, to know His presence and His favor. And so in the sermon this morning, if I decided to lay out each of those areas, it would take us well into next year to accomplish that. So instead, I decided to talk to you about the one thing that will affect all of those things. In 2015, this will affect your family, this will affect your job, this will affect your relationships, this will affect your health, this will affect circumstances. The one thing to talk to you about this morning out of the book of Proverbs, the one thing to talk about that will affect everything is also the one thing that you cannot escape in the new year. It's the one thing that you'll bring into all of those things. The one thing I need to talk to you about from the book of Proverbs this morning is you. You're going to bring yourself into the new year. And you are going to have to deal with yourself when it comes to your health, your money, your job, your family, your relationship, your circumstances, all of it. And so I simply want to share four truths from the book of Proverbs about you, how you ought to relate to you, and how you ought to relate to God. And it's my hope that these four truths can sustain us as we head into this new year and whatever God brings our way. So we want to look together at the book of Proverbs and these four truths about you and how you ought to relate to yourself and other people and God. They're listed for you in the bulletin, and there's some scriptures that we'll read from the book of Proverbs to pull these truths together so that we might understand them. I want to start in Proverbs chapter 1, and before we read the word, a prayer. Anoint my eyes, O holy dove, that I might prize this book of love. Unstop my ear, made deaf by sin, that I might hear thy voice within. Break my hard heart, Jesus my Lord, in the inmost part, hide thy sweet word. Amen. Four truths about you and how you ought to relate to God from the book of Proverbs. The first one is that the fear of the Lord is the pathway to fullness. Therefore, don't fear it. Embrace it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And also Proverbs 14 and verse 27, a wonderful promise. Proverbs 14, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, so that one may turn away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is not a fear to be feared and turned away from. The fear of the Lord is something to be embraced as a fountain of life. As you head into the new year, the one thing that affects everything is you. You got to learn how to deal with yourself. And what the Proverbs teach us based on the fear of the Lord is this: you cannot understand yourself without understanding God. And the flip is also true. You cannot understand God without dealing with and understanding yourself. You can't understand God without dealing with and understanding yourself. And you'll never understand how to deal with and understand yourself until you know God. So the question, what is man, must be answered by a sentence that has a reference to God in that sentence. The answer to the question, who am I, must be answered with a statement that includes a reference to God. This thought's roots go back to the very opening chapter of the Bible when the first humans were created. It says there that God made mankind in his image. Our creation, our very being, is defined by that relationship with God. Living makes sense only as we live out our relationship with God. What I'm saying is simply this: if the you think you are is not rightly related to God, then you are not who you think you are. If the you who you think you are is not rightly related to God, then you aren't who you think you are. And you can't understand yourself or understand God without getting this right. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I'd also say this: if the God that you think you know is not worthy of being feared, then God's not who you think he is. If the God that you think you know, or the God you think you have figured out, is not worthy of respect and obedience, then God isn't who you think he is. If the God you think you know is not worthy of trust and worship and fear, then he's not who you think he is. The fear of the Lord is the first step to an accurate perception of reality. And reality is who you really are and how you relate to this world and to God. And the fear of the Lord is nothing less than an accurate perception of reality. The fear of the Lord is an accurate understanding of who God is and who I am and the world that I live in. Sin, the Bible says, and lots of the hymns that we sang, one of the choruses we sang this morning, talk about sin in terms of lostness. You know what lostness is? It's what used to happen before you got a GPS for Christmas. You don't know where you are, and you don't know how to get where you're going. Why is sin described as lostness? Because in our sinfulness, we don't know where we are, and we don't know who we are. And this condition is described as lostness. We don't know where we are, and we don't know who we are, because we have turned away from the one from whom all distances are measured. So we don't know where we are, because we've turned away from the one to whom everything is rightly calibrated and from whom everything is rightly oriented. So we don't know who we are or where we are if we don't know God. That's why the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. It's something to be embraced, not shunned and feared. This is how Ray Ortland defines the fear of the Lord in his commentary on Proverbs. Dare to treat God as God. Don't respond to life in a way that makes God look helpless and weak and worthless. If God is God, then he is all that finally matters. If God is God, then he is all that finally matters. Fearing God means respecting him enough to live like God is God, like what he says matters. To fear God is to care what he says. Therefore, it's to dive into his word. It's to be afraid enough of his righteousness to submit to his authority. And it's to know that his presence and his love is so sweet that we want to draw close to him, as close as we can. So his will becomes our will, and his goals become our goals. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's nothing to be run away from. It's something to run toward. That's what it means that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wisest thing you can resolve to do in this new year is to know God and fear God. What I'd like to challenge you to do is I'd like to challenge you to make this resolution for the new year. Resolved. I will disagree with anybody sooner than I will disagree with the Lord God. I will disagree with anybody sooner than I will disagree with the Lord God. Part two of this resolution. Especially, I will argue with myself. I will fight hard against my own mind and my own pride rather than disagree with the Lord God who made me and owns me. The fear of the Lord is a pathway to fullness. Don't fear it. Embrace it. It leads to life. A second truth about you and how you ought to live life that I hope will help, I trust will help you in the new year is that wisdom is the way things work. Don't fight it. Follow it. Wisdom is the way things work. Don't fight it. Follow it. Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 23. Proverbs 1, verse 20 says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. I love that reference right there in verse 20 where it says wisdom speaks at the front door of Walmart. You don't have to go to college. It's okay if you are not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You don't need to have a certain income level. You don't need to have a certain religious heritage. Wisdom is right there where all of the normal blue-collar people buy their bread. Wisdom is the way things work. Don't fight it. Follow it. The second reference I wanted to read is Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 23. Proverbs 3, verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped their dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They'll be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. I love how wisdom shows up, if you're with me there, in verse 19. Not wisdom necessarily in our lives for the new year, but wisdom that goes all the way back to being an element of reality that God himself utilized in the creation of the world. It says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. What that says is that there's wisdom in the bones of the universe. There's wisdom in our DNA. And that wisdom being how God created the world, therefore, think about it. Wisdom goes along with the grain of the wood. Wisdom is in the grain of the wood, so it goes along with it. If you go the way of wisdom, fewer splinters cause pain in your hands. Wisdom founded the current of the river. So if you go along in the way of wisdom, you'll get to where you're going with greater velocity. Wisdom is the way things work. The universe has its source in the creative will of God, and God is wise. Therefore, there's a common ethical system that applies to all of the universe because God created it and he embedded wisdom in the universe. Proverbs insist on the fact that reality is not made to order. We don't invent or create reality. God created us, and reality holds the marks of God's created design. Therefore, we will lose if we try to invent our own identity, our own sexuality, our own relationships. There's a pre-existing order that we're born into, and that order both predates and outranks us. And that order's right because it's from God. So wisdom adapts and adjusts to the way things really work in life. Wisdom adapts and adjusts to the way things work in life. And I want you to get this point because this is what I want for you in 2015. I hate to sound like a whiner, but I'm sick and tired of believers feeling like we're backwards, we're out of date, and we need to shut up as the world marches on. I'm sick of that. Unbelievers who deny God's wisdom are actually the ones who are stuck in the backwater of a bygone idea that is passé and completely out of date. It's actually sin and rebellion that refuse to adjust to the way that God, who is present and powerful, is actually doing things today. Sin tries to succeed by ignoring reality. Proverbs teach that over and over again. Sin tries to succeed by ignoring reality. Proverbs say all over the place that sin tries to succeed by ignoring reality. Therefore, sin is both evil and stupid. Therefore, sin is both wicked and whacked. It doesn't make any sense. And we have the light and love and the truth. And we as the church just sort of like, well, we're dinosaurs and we're unpopular and we can't fit in. You know, no, it's actually the other way around. Because wisdom is the way things work. Proverbs are filled with commands that are supported by reasons. This is why we love the book of Proverbs. The Bible is filled with commands. Sometimes the Bible gets a bad rap because it is so filled with commands. But the book of Proverbs is filled with commands, and almost every command, if not every command in the book of Proverbs, is followed up by a reason why the command makes sense. Therefore, the book of Proverbs, which has this intimidating statement about the fear of the Lord, is one of the books in the Bible that is not built on raw authority. I'm God, shut up. The book of Proverbs is a book that's built on this clarity and this humanity of authority and reasonableness. rather than simply demanding compliance, the Proverbs over and over show the hearer why she or he would want to comply, that it's in his or her best interest. So in wisdom, God doesn't want you to act like a mindless robot. Yes, God wants you to obey and comply, but he wants you to know the reasons why. And so it's the wise people who are the free people to run the way of joy. It's like Chesterton said in his neat little book, Orthodoxy, I finally saw that the Bible was filled with morality and rules. But I got it, he said, when I finally figured out that the reason for the rules was so the good things can run wild in God's universe. It is sin that brings sorrow and misery. It is righteousness and wisdom that show us love and light and joy and fullness of life. So as you bring you into the new year, follow the way of wisdom with confidence. It is the way things work. Third truth, your life is a series of choices, and your heart is the source of your choices. So choose your choices by taking heed to your heart. The Proverbs talk so much about the heart. Your life is a series of choices, and your heart is the source of your choices. So choose your choices by taking heed of, by guarding your heart. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And again, the heart is addressed in Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, and keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to those who find them, and healing to their flesh. Keep your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, let your gaze be straight ahead. Ponder the path of your feet, and your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Your life is a series of choices, and your heart is the source of your choices. And you're going to bring your heart into this new year, 2015. You're going to bring your heart into it. Therefore, take heed of your heart. The heart is that with which we think, plan, trust, lust, understand, rebel, submit, deceive, disclose. The heart's what we do all of that with. That's why I love how Proverbs 4:23 puts it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the actions of life. From your heart flow the actions of life. Therefore, among other things of what this proverb is saying, it's saying that your actions matter because they disclose your inner attitudes. The outside matters because it discloses the inside. And what God is after is not merely external conformity. Even in the Old Testament, that has a lot of laws about conformity in it, God wasn't after merely external conformity. Proverbs 4:23 is about the spiritual vitality that wells up within you and radiates out of your life. It's not merely moral obedience, as important as that is. It's emotional aliveness that God wants from us. He wants us to be alive to him. It's not just what you do, as important as what you do is. It's what you desire that God's after. This is a call to reform not just the outside, but the inside. Think about it like this. Sinning, is doing what you love to do out of a heart that's unalive to God and thinks God's ways are ugly. Sin is doing what you love to do out of a heart that's not alive to God and thinks God's ways are ugly. Obedience. Too many of you are so glum because you just think obedience means doing what you don't really want to do. Obedience, just like sin, is doing what you love to do. Obedience is doing what you love to do out of a heart that is alive to the beauty of God. Jonathan Edwards said that the key to Christian obedience is meditating on the beauty of God. And he chose that word carefully. Obedience is doing what you love to do out of a heart that's alive to God and how desirable God is and how beautiful God is. Guard your heart, meaning feed your heart with how wonderfully beautiful the ways of God are. The outside matters. The behavior on the outside matters because it discloses the heart. The Proverbs say that life is a journey. We're on a path. And the end of the journey is not just a place, it's a condition. The end of the journey is not just a place, it's a condition of heart. A hardened, deadened heart or an alive, loving heart. You'll end up where you end up because you chose what you chose. You'll end up where you end up because you chose what you chose. And you will choose what you choose because your heart desires what it desires. Don't you think that's one of the reasons Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God"? I see the arrows going both ways in that verse. The heart sees the beauty of God, and the more of the beauty of God the heart sees, the more that the heart longs to be close to that beauty. The heart's desire for God, the heart's desire for God is a desire that in itself is more satisfying than any satisfied worldly desire. Say that again. The heart's desire for God is a desire that is in itself more satisfying than any satisfied worldly desire. Meditate on that every day this new year and see what it blossoms in your affections. I suppose I'm channeling C.S. Lewis, who said, "Our best havings are our wantings," that desire. Lewis said, all joy as distinct from mere pleasure, emphasizes our pilgrim status, always beckoning us, always pulling us. Our best havings are our wantings. Does your heart desire God because he's beautiful and good and loving? This is the key, walking in holiness. And a fourth truth about you that you'll take into the new year, and I maybe left the one that stings the most for the last, just so that if you hate me, you'll hate me for the shortest amount of time while I'm up here. This is it. You are not as wise as you think you are. Acquire humility. It is the only way forward. You are not as wise as you think you are. Acquire humility. It is the only way forward. And for me to just blab, blab, blab about how great you are and how you're always right and you don't need to change would be for me to maintain a plastic sort of peace with you while in my responsibility as a man of God, I'm actually stabbing you in the back. And I don't want to do that. And take seriously the Proverbs' heed about your foolishness and your need for God's wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 7. If you don't memorize a lot of verses this new year, memorize this one. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Hey, I'll make a deal with you. You don't even have to memorize 7a and b. Just memorize 7a. That's it. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn aside from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She'll keep you. Love her. She'll guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. And then the last place to look with me at Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and the reproofs of discipline are a way of life. Love that. The commandments are a lamp and a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. So we're not that little kid who runs down the hall and runs away when we talk about reproof and discipline. We're that wise person who receives it so that we can grow thereby. The commandments are a lamp and a light. Let's not make it more complicated than it really is. If you're a Christian, this is what you say. My Bible leads me to life and love and joy. If you are not yet a Christian, this is what you say. My heart and my mind lead me to life and light and joy. And God's stupid stuff gets in the way of what I want. If you're yet unconverted, the Bible is darkness and backwards, and it steals your fun and it closes you off from joy. If you have been converted, then you are a woman or a man who believes that the way forward into glory and peace and joy is the way of submissive obedience to the Word of God, which is light and life and joy. No one left to himself ever arrives at wisdom. We are born stupid, and that's not even the worst of it. We're born proud of our own stupidity. And we're born defensive of our own ridiculousness. And Almighty God has to break through and humble us. Psalm 119. It is good that I was afflicted, that I might know God's way. We are so easily hurt and selfish and resentful. Sometimes I think our most instinctive reaction is to stick our fingers in our ears and make our mouths pout and become whiny when we're not immediately told exactly what we want to be told. Get off that track. The Proverbs call you simple, ignorant, foolish, proud. And instead of being hurt by that, realize that God's actually doing a kindness to you by not in some cosmic display of ironic inversion. God's doing a kindness to you by not bowing down to your idolatrous ideas about yourself. Instead, he's turning the lights on.
and he's telling you the way out. The Bible will consistently step on your toes. And the reason the Bible will do that is to keep your entire body from falling off of a cliff. So be thankful. The fear of the Lord means we accept his instruction and we receive his rebuke. We say what God says is what we need. Your first need, beloved, your first need is for salvation. Your first need is for a Savior. If your sin's not forgiven, your sin's on you, and it's going to separate you from life and love and joy and peace. Your first need is to receive, to know, to have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And after that, your need is for God's wisdom, God's light, and humility is the key. If you are ignorant and teachable, I've told y'all this before, if you are ignorant and teachable, you will be fine. I ain't worried about you at all. Because the second category will gladly subvert the first. Teachability and humility is the key way forward. If you're humble and ignorant, you will not remain ignorant for long. But if you are ignorant and unteachable, if you are ignorant and proud, I'm very worried about you. Because that second quality will lock you into the first, and great will be your fall. If you're in trouble and you're teachable, you're going to be okay. Because your humble teachability will lead you through the trouble to a place of trust and security. If you are in trouble and proudly unteachable, then your trouble will only become worse. Always distinguish the difference between feeling strong and being strong. Take this into the new year. Always distinguish the difference between feeling strong and being strong. When it comes to sin and temptation, the one who feels strong is weak, and the one who knows that he or she is weak is phenomenally strong. Always distinguish the difference between feeling strong and being strong. Take this into the new year. Always distinguish the difference between fears to be afraid of and the one fear never to be afraid of. Take this into the new year. Always distinguish the difference between fears to be afraid of and the one fear never to be afraid of. The choice is yours. In 2015, you can fear everything in the world, or you can fear God, and you can be unafraid of everything in the world. You can have so many fears to be so afraid about every step of your life if you're all you've got. But if you choose to fear the Lord, you can be unafraid of anything and everything because God is your rock and your fortress. If the wisdom of the fear of the Lord is yours, if the mercy of humility is truly yours, then this can be a year in which you're unafraid, but instead you're bold to walk in light and walk in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what we know not, just we have not, give us. And what we are not, make us for your Son's sake. Amen.